Great to see you. Have you guys had a good week? We're going through the series, This Is No Religion, and looking at the acronym BLESS, begin with prayer, listen, eat. And today we're looking at the first of the S's, which is serve. Last week was eat. What a great week to have a whole sermon just learning about food. Probably one of my most favorite sermons in history. Have you guys eaten some good food this week? Good. That's a godly and Christ-like thing to do. Yes and amen to that. Hopefully tonight will also be helpful for us as we like learn about what it is to serve together. Here's what it's not. Today is not about how to just do random acts of kindness, something far more profound than that. As of all of these letters, all five of these things, they're five missional practices of Jesus. So we're going to start with Christ, look at the way he serves, look at some of the amazing things he does. One particular example we're going to just dig into in Mark 7. Out of that, just learn some principles, and there's some good news for us tonight. And then we're going to learn about how we can serve each other. Does that sound good? Yeah. Amen. So we're going to kick off with Mark 7. We've got a few verses, Mark 7, verses 31 to 36. I'll read it out, and then we'll dive into it. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went to the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf, could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh. He said to him, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. But Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Amazing story of Jesus doing a miracle, meeting a guy, praying for him. He's healed amazingly. What can we learn about serving here? Let me dive in. I've got five quick things I want to pull out of this passage about the way Jesus served this deaf and mute man. Number one, Jesus crossed barriers. He went to the place that's called the Decapolis. The Decapolis, any of you might know this already, you historian geeks. The Decapolis was a place in like ancient history, was actually made up of 10 cities. Actually, Decapolis is 10 cities. So you imagine 10 little cities all bunched together, all lots of different peoples, different races, majority made up of Gentiles. What's a Gentile, you might ask? A Gentile is someone who's not a Jew. So Jew were the people of God, starting at Abraham. Jesus was raised a Jew, but here he is going to the Decapolis, this kind of center of different culture, mostly Gentiles. What's he coming across? What's he encountering? Mostly people not like him. Jesus talking to this group of people would have been different spiritually, different ethnically, different racially, and different socially. Those four things actually, think about us today in 2015, they're often actually things that define us, define your community, your friendship group, your like bunch of mates you hang out with, spiritually, ethnically, racially, socially, all various things that define us, but also can be barriers that divide us. I only stick to these people because they're like me. I feel comfortable with these people. You know, I respect them. I'm sure they're good, but they're not my homies. I'll stick with my friends. I'm sure we can all somehow connect with that. But Jesus, note here, he's not confined by these barriers. He's happy to rock up at a place like the Decapolis and go and talk to some people who are very different to him, not like him, and actually involved in ministry and serve someone there. These barriers that separate us, Jesus walks straight through. He crosses barriers to serve people when he does in this testimony. Number two, Jesus served this guy perceptively. What do I mean this? Perceptively. What does it mean to be perceptive? Is you're observing, you're looking, you're listening, you're seeing. He's perceptive. How is he perceptive? He took the man aside. You notice that? It says in verse 31, it says he took the man aside away from the crowd. That's not usually a good thing. I don't know if anybody's ever taken you aside. I know being a parent, sometimes things to take Ruby and Zoe aside just to tell them off or something. Maybe you've been taken aside by your own parents, a boss at school, teachers, I don't know. I remember when I was 10, I think I'm actually more like 12, I had, back in my old church, we had a bring and share dinner. And it was an international thing. So everyone got to bring lots of dinner. There's some dishes from like Malaysia and India and America and South Africa. And they all had little name tags. It was all great. A nice little community thing. You know, eat. There it all happening then 10 years ago. And they were eating all this food. And there was a South African dish, which was this sausage called boerewors. Anybody heard of that? Yes, Jamie Milligan's loving it. Big sausage. Jamie and I, my brother, we're looking at this and just thinking, you thinking I'm thinking? Like, yes, I am. It's like, that looks like something else, doesn't it? Like, yeah. We grabbed the little bit of paper, turned it around and wrote on it, dog poo. Put it back on the thing and like ran away in the corner watching. So people are getting their like coronation chicken and their barbecue ribs and being like, dog poo, what is that? That's weird. Feel sorry for the person who actually bought that. Like, what is this? Word got back to my dad and he took me aside. Being taken aside often, you might have even had it in church, you might have had it just with a brother or sister who really loves you, maybe you said or something wrong. It's not usually associated with something good, but here we have Jesus taking aside somebody away from the crowd. Why would he do this? They'd be naughty. He's about to heal him, we know that, but often he healed really publicly. Why is he taking this person aside? Well, let's have a think about it. Imagine this guy growing up, he had a severe speech impediment and was deaf. Crowds for that guy aren't actually a good thing. Crowds can be quite isolating. When I was in my early 20s, I had fairly bad hearing loss, had a condition called otosclerosis, and got diagnosed with that. And I could be operated on, but they said, don't recommend that initially, best to have hearing aids. So I had a hearing aids for about 4 months, which I wore like now and then. The thing when my hearing was that bad, being in crowds was actually quite a difficult place to be because it's just lots of noise and someone standing in front of you talking to you and you can't hear them. And you're just missing like 50% of the words, always asking, can you repeat yourself? Even the couple that I lived with at the time, they actually lead the Shoreham site of this church, Matt and Ali, I lived with them even around the house, like I wouldn't be able to hear them in the room next door. Matt would have to go to me, put his hand on my shoulder so that he knew I had his attention, he had my attention, that he was talking to me, because that's how much I just couldn't really take in, just wouldn't hear stuff. Jesus knows this guy has had hearing loss. It's obviously become quite clear. He's like a mute man. He's not being able to speak very well. What does he do? He takes him away from what's uncomfortable for him, and he's able to connect with him personally. He's perceptive. Jesus knows what actually in that moment, what this guy really needs, probably just to talk one-on-one. How did that come? It came because he's perceptive. It wasn't just a blanket prayer for some random guy. No, it was a person Jesus could see, this is how best I can serve him. He understood what he really needed. Jesus served this man perceptively. Number three, Jesus served personally. It says in verse 33, after he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and he spit and touched the man's tongue. Like, what on earth? That's weird. Stroke disgusting. That's like, dude, you're touching me. What are you doing? Like, I eat with this tongue. Don't touch my tongue. Why did he do that? That's really bizarre. Jesus, again, he healed people all the time in different ways. Sometimes it was like just a prayer. Sometimes it was like, go and wash in that river and they're clean. Why did he do this whole spitting ear thing? Again, let's think about it. Jesus is not just healing physically, but he's wanting to connect with this guy in a very personal way. As Jesus is touching this guy's ears and his tongue, it's almost like a sign language to communicate to him, this is what I want to do. I'm going to heal these ears. I'm going to heal this tongue so you can speak. You might be down a few senses right now, but I'm still going to cut through that and connect with you personally. Jesus wasn't sort of at arm's length with this guy. Okay, obviously I can't connect with you because you can't really hear what I'm saying and we can't really talk. No, he did none of that. He pushed right through and got in this guy's face with eyes of love and connected with him. It's awesome. This actually happened to me. I got prayed for my ears back in 2009. Bizarrely enough, the guy who prayed for me, he put his fingers in my ears. And I didn't think much of it at the time. Actually, I thought, yes, I've got fingers in my ears right now. Okay, we're doing this. But he prayed and prayed in faith. And I didn't know anything like immediately, but later that night, like my ears were healed and I heard like for the first time stuff I'd never heard before. I'm not just saying that as like this is a formula. If someone's deaf, put your fingers in their ears. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying actually it helps. It helps connect with God and connect with the person. Jesus served this person personally. Number four, Jesus served him compassionately. It says in verse 34, he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh, he said to him, Ephatha, which means be opened. A deep sigh. What's that? When I first read that, I was like, why is he like just letting out a deep sigh? That's what you do when you're really fed up, don't you? We've had a long day. You want to just kick back, put your feet up. What do? You just let out a big sigh. I was like, why is Jesus doing that? Looking into this a little bit, the Greek word they use there actually can also be translated just as well, deep groan. There was a groan inside of him. As he came face to face with this guy and his suffering, actually it began to affect him deeply inside. He let out a groan. Like, this isn't right. This isn't what I've come to do. This isn't the kingdom of heaven. This is wrong. And seeing the effects of it and the suffering, it affected him. Another place in the Bible, in John 11, we learn of a guy, one of Jesus' friends, called Lazarus. Lazarus died. And Jesus went to go and see the people and the funeral and all the people around who are sad, obviously. Mary and Martha just crying. And we know from reading on, Jesus actually raised up Lazarus from the dead. I mean, it's an amazing miracle. You've got to read about it. Jesus raises this guy from the dead, and you can see he's going to do it. When he approaches Mary and Martha, who are crying because they've lost their brother Lazarus, he doesn't say to them, guys, why are you crying? Where's your faith? Jesus is here. You watch this. Lazarus, come out. And he comes to life. No, he doesn't tell them off at all. What he does is get down with them. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible, John 11, verse 35. It just says, Jesus wept, full stop. Verse 36. He got down and he wept with them, even though he knew in a few minutes who's going to raise him back to life. And when he did that, he uses the same word. He groaned. And it's like people's suffering affected Jesus, and he had compassion. He's the God that gets down beside people and weeps with them. And this guy, this deaf guy who's struggling to speak, Jesus had compassion on him. He let out a sigh of compassion. This can't be right. This can't be right. He had compassion. Didn't hold him at arm's length. Didn't tell him off like, it's okay, the Savior's here. What's wrong with you? Be healed. No, there was a deep connection and he had compassion on him. He entered into the pain of people. Jesus served compassionately. Lastly, the thing that we want to learn from this little bit of just this story of Jesus healing this guy, Jesus served privately. It says in verse 36, Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. Jesus is happy to heal somebody and not do it just for the praises of man. The praises of man is a funny drug. Just people saying, oh, well done. Oh, that was incredible. Wow, did you see that? It says in Proverbs that man is tested by his praise. Jesus is happy just to take some time out aside away from the crowds, heal this guy in private because he loves him. Hey, don't go telling loads of people. He's happy to serve off the radar. He's happy to love him. Yes, sometimes he did miracles really publicly. Yes, sometimes lots of people did see and think, wow, that was amazing. But it shows Jesus' heart motivation isn't just for himself to look how good I am. It's because he wants people to see the power of God and pointing people back towards God. But right here, he's happy to serve privately. He's happy to heal under the radar. It's not just some show. That's not love, is it? You, under the guise of love, and yes, I'll heal you, but really you're all about you. And look how impressive I look. Not our Jesus. He's happy just to take time out and to serve him. So here's a guy who encounters Jesus, not just a, like, I don't know, some machine of just miracles, but actually Jesus is a person who can cross barriers, who can read you, see exactly where you're at, cut through your situation, connect with you personally, passionately, and compassionately, and serve in that place, not for anyone else's credit, but for God the Father, and love you. That's one example of the way that Jesus served. There's actually loads in the Bible. If you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, the stories about Jesus. Sometimes he healed people to serve them. Sometimes he just cooked breakfast. They've been fishing all night. What do they need? They need a nice breakfast. I love a good breakfast, don't you? So does Peter. Jesus made of him. Sometimes it's like he just fed 4,000 people. Sometimes you just get down and wash people's feet as a sign of saying, I love you, I want to serve you. This is our God. This is what Jesus is like. He came to serve. Now, I could, at this point in the sermon, be like, look at this amazing example. Look at Jesus. Isn't he incredible? And then just suddenly turn it to us and be like, right, this is how we should serve. And it would be helpful. He is a good example. Okay, right, maybe I understand a bit more about serving now, looking at that. But actually, to be honest with you, that's not really good news. Just showing a great example, this is what we've got to be like. Actually, you probably bring up all kinds of objections. You might think, to be honest, I think I could do that for a bit, but that seems like hard work. I can't think like that all the time. I can't do that all the time. Maybe like me, you just sort of run out of steam. You go for it for a few days, and then you get to a few days in, you're like, I've sort of run out of gas here. You know, we hear the bless, I begin with prayer. Okay, I've done that. Yeah, I've listened to people, and I've got to eat. Okay, I guess I've got to serve. And it sort of all feels like quite hard work. Maybe actually it's not just hard work. Maybe it's slightly worse than that in your heart. Maybe you think serving, yeah, right, maybe some people, but not for me. Take it or leave it. Yeah, I'm a bit too busy. I prefer not. Someone else can do that. Or maybe even at worse, you might be thinking, yeah, some people need help, but actually they don't deserve my help. They don't deserve my time. They've got themselves in that mess. Why should I serve them? That's their problem. They need to help themselves out. Yeah, I could sort of pray for them here and there, but actually I'm not going to really help them. I'm sure at some level, probably all of us can connect with one of those things. So to just say, hey, here's Jesus, be like that, is actually not very helpful. That's like saying, hey, here's Usain Bolt. He can run 100 meters in like 9.2 seconds. Right, now it's your turn. I can't do that. So we're not going to do that. I've actually got some good news for you. Three things of good news before we learn how to serve. The first thing is this. Yes, Jesus served the deaf and mute man, but he's also come to serve us. What do I mean by that? Matthew 20:28 says this, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus hasn't come that you would serve him. You think, oh, I need to serve God. It's my life, it's my worship to serve God. No, no, no. He hasn't come to be served. He's come to serve. He's come to serve, and that includes you. Jesus came to serve you. What does that mean? You are that guy in Mark 7. The same way Jesus came to serve him, of all of these things, he serves you. Do you know what? Jesus crosses the barriers that separate you from God. He became a man, and he came and connects with us as a man on earth. He crosses the barriers of sin. He comes and meets us where we're at to serve us. You know, he serves perceptively. How he served that guy in Mark 7, perceptively looking, observing, seeing where you're at, seeing what needs you have, seeing, oh, this guy's got fear, or saying, oh, this girl's struggling with this. He looks at you, and he cares, and he serves us perceptively. Not just that, he serves personally. You're not just a number in a crowd. You're sitting here tonight with a few hundred people. You know what? You're not just a number. You're not just a face. Jesus calls you by name, and he knows you by name. And Jesus came to serve you by name. Not just that, but he's also compassionate. In the same way that this man's like deafness and suffering touched the heart of Christ, and he had a deep groan, did you know that the things that you go through, that you struggle with, that you're suffering, that are difficult, they touch the heart of God? They touch Jesus. He's affected by that, and he gets in the valley with you and walks it out with you, puts his arm around with you and helps you out of compassion. I've got two daughters. When one of them falls over, I run. I help them up. One of them's struggling. My instinct is to go. Why? I have a compassion for them. It says in Psalm 123, as a father has compassion of children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Jesus has compassion on us. And so when we read in Mark 7, the way that Jesus interacts with somebody, we can actually understand this is the way that God is towards us. Are you tracking with this? Does this make sense? Why can we be like that? Why can we say that? Because this, Jesus said this, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus is showing us what God is like. He's showing us the heart of the Father. He's showing us what God is like towards us. He hasn't come that you would just serve him. No, he's come to serve us. Jesus came that you would know him, but also that he would serve you. Seems a bit backwards, doesn't it? Surely we should just serve God. That's what life's about. No, it's not backwards. It's all about the grace of God. It starts with grace and always starts with grace, that God comes to us graciously, compassionately, serves us where we're at. So here's a guy who was deaf and dumb. He encountered Christ and he served him magnificently. My question to you tonight is, have you encountered Christ? Have you received his compassion in your life? Have you received his care? Have you known his just oversight, his personal love for you? Have you known him serve you? I feel so backwards that the King of Kings would serve me. Yeah, that's right. That's how far he would go. And that's how deep his love is. Look back over your life. The trail that's led to you where you are. You can often see just God's hand in things, his blessing, his goodness. What do you think that is? Because you're really good? No, it's because he's serving you. He's looking out for you. He's loving you. Do you know his grace, his compassion in your life? If you're sitting here tonight genuinely saying, I just don't. I've never experienced that. This is total news to me. I would love for you to know that in your heart. But you've got to hear it in your head as well tonight. This is the truth. This is what God is like. He came not that you would just serve religiously, but he could care for you and he could serve you. So before we talk about this is how we should serve other people, first bit of good news is this. We've got to know. We've got to know the grace of God in our lives and the way he serves us. Amen? Second piece of good news is this. His spirit lives in us. Check this out. Jesus walking on earth, this amazing like son of God who did this stuff, the same spirit of the servant lives in you. So when we're talking about serving people and caring for people, you're not just doing it on your own strength or your own spirit. You have the spirit of the servant living inside of you, helping you, strengthening you, guiding you, teaching you. And we all have days when it's just like, you know what, this just seems too hard. I can't do this. You know, you lose energy. You haven't got any strength, haven't got any power. Maybe you've got no compassion. You just feel like, oh, whatever. What do you do with that? It's not just like, oh, I should serve and try and muster up some strength. No, you can go to God and be filled with his spirit again and again. That's why we have a baptism of the Holy Spirit Sunday afternoon coming up soon. Go and get filled with this spirit. The Christian life is not supposed to be walked out on your own. When you get saved, you give your life to Jesus, he makes his home inside of you, but also you get baptized in the spirit, which is a separate event. You get filled with the spirit of God. A, you know this love of God, but B, you know this empowering and strengthening. But it's not just a Sunday afternoon course. This is about day by day by day. It says in Ephesians 5, it says, go on being filled with the Spirit. In fact, the Greek is like, be in the position of being filled. Just be in that constant state of receiving the Spirit of God. When you're dry, when you've got no strength, no compassion, serving seems like hard work, I can't do it. What do? Go to the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, and you find a love that bubbles up. That's not coming from you. You find a compassion for people. You find an energy and a strength. Just to tell you, like I was quite tired about an hour ago, 5 past 5 p.m. I was like, man, I've got to get up and preach tonight. I'm shattered. It's just been a long day. I was up really early with the kids. I thought, right, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to get a Coca-Cola and just like neck it. That sugar will get me through. And I just felt like, why am I going to sugar to get me through this evening? I thought, I'm going to go to God. I'm going to pray and just took some time aside in the room and just prayed and sat and beat with God and just sung a bit of my own and just prayed in tongues like the language the Spirit gives. I walked out of that place at 5:30 just like full of beans. That wasn't me. That's God. That's not Coca-Cola or energy. It's just the Spirit. You know, it says in Isaiah 40, when you wait on the Lord, you will renew your strength. That's not a catchphrase or a song. That's truth. You're struggling in the Christian life? Struggling to fight sin, struggling to serve people, struggling to love people, don't walk it out on your own. You know, the best version of Simon Brading is the spirit-filled version. Full of just fruit of the Spirit. I love that word, fruit. It's just automatic. Just it grows. It's not me doing it, it's God. That's the second bit of good news. It says in Acts 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. When the Spirit comes on you, you receive what? Power. Power to serve. God doesn't send you out on your own. He's with you. It's not your own strength. You won't even make it till next Sunday. Be filled with the Spirit. He lives inside of us. Number three, bit of good news before we just learn how to practically serve each other. We are his body. This is a bit abstract. Just stay with me. It'll make sense. Because he lives inside of us, and because actually we live inside of him, we are, as a church, if you're followers of Jesus, we are the body of Christ. You read that lots in the New Testament. That's the later bit of the Bible. We are the body of Christ. Why am I saying that? Why is that good news? That just seems a bit weird. Here's why. Serving other people in this strength that God gives and in the knowledge that he's come to serve us, serving other people, it turns it from just being acts of kindness to actually taking Jesus to people. When people interact with the body of Christ, they're interacting with him. They're interacting with Jesus. We are his hands and his feet by extension. So when you serve people, you're giving them an encounter with Christ. Think how nice it would have been for that guy in Mark 7 just to have Jesus like hold his ears, look him in the eye, the Son of God, look him in the eye. Wow. You know what? When you pray for people, you lay hands on them, you serve them, it's like they're encountering Christ. Am I saying that we are Jesus? No, I'm saying we're the body of Jesus. And so it takes serving other people, not just like, here's a few acts of kindness. It's far more profound than that. We're actually showing people Jesus. We're giving them an encounter with this Christ. When we come into this room and we meet Jesus, lots of our friends, lots of people in this city, they might not make it in this room to encounter Jesus, but they might encounter him out there with the way that you serve him. He's not just in here, he's when we serve. A lady called Jackie Pullinger, who did lots of work in China with drug addicts and terrible like situations like that, she taught on this so brilliantly, that Christ is out there when you serve people. And as somebody who serves, you're being the body of Christ, you're showing people Christ. She personally said that she met Jesus more in those moments than in just times of worship. In the act of serving people, you're being Christ-like. You're finding actually Jesus yourself. You're encountering him. You're having these amazing encounters with God. How? Through serving people. We're his body. And so this is good news for us, that it's not just like, let's do a few acts of kindness. No, we're taking Jesus to people. You might like think, oh, I'd like to serve that person. You're going to be the closest person to Jesus they meet that day. You're his representative. They're going to meet Christ through what you do. Each day is filled with opportunities for you to make Christ manifest to someone. These three things change everything. This takes serve, the first of the S's in bless, from being hard work to being a joy. You just see people when they meet Christ. Jesus has blessed us, and out of that, he wants to now bless the world through us as his body. So, with these three things in mind, now we're going to look at just how we can serve one another, what it is to serve each other in the way that Jesus served this guy in Mark 7 and the way that he serves us. Just by nature of this, serving other people, there's not just some like five-step process to serve. This is how you serve. Why? Everybody's different. And because everybody's different, everybody's need is different. So I'm not going to tell you, do this, don't do that, do this. You know, this is exactly how you serve this person. What we can do, though, is take some principles, learn these principles from Jesus, and you can figure out the practices on your own. So I've got a few practices, a few things that I've done, and a few other things that, you know, could work, but you've really got to catch the heart of the principles to make this work. So here are some principles. Again, these are drawn from Mark 7. It's the same words, you'll recognize them. First up, perceptively. Again, what does like serving perceptively mean? What is it to be perceptive? Perceptive is like you're observing. You're not just sort of like blind eye, whatever. No, you're observing, you're learning, you're watching, you're listening, you're clocking, you're being perceptive, you're picking things up. Why it's important to serve people perceptively? This ties in so beautifully with the L of listen. As you're perceptive, as you're listening, you're understanding actually how best you can serve them. So you could just do anything, but you might just not hit a target. It's just like, just, you know, some kind of act of kindness, some serving, and it might be helpful, but really you're not hitting the actual need. It's through being perceptive that you can figure out what the needs are to how best to serve them. So a few examples, really just random little stories, just some things that I've done. A couple of years ago, I went to a gig. A friend of mine doesn't come to this church. Great singer. She sings in a band. Some songs she plays keys. Some songs she just sings and she has a tambourine. But I noticed it was a bit awkward when she's doing the tambourine songs to then go back to keys. She had to like put the tambourine on the floor, or I think once she put it on the keyboard and she's playing the keyboard and the tambourine fell off, and it was a bit like, I could see that she's struggling. And I think being a musician, you can just sort of read people a little bit. You know what they're thinking. And I thought, man, like, this isn't good. I know what she needs. She needs a tambourine holder. And I've seen them around. Like, you can get them on drum kits. You just quickly drop it on. You can actually buy them to clip onto mic stands. So I went on Amazon, bought one. It was only like 12, 13 quid or something. It was December a few years ago. So we gave it to her as a Christmas present. Anna and I were like, hey, come over, we got something for you. And we gave it to her. And she's like, wow, that's great. Thank you so much. Like, it was total, like, just shock and surprise. But it's really helpful. And since then, we've seen that band play. And like, she uses it and it's great. She's doing her thing. And then back again. And like, she's on it, man. What happened there? Like, we served a really simple need through being perceptive. Like, I clocked something that I could see. And it's only like 12, 13 quid. And you think, okay, that's a nice bit of generosity, nice gift. But actually, it's not just that. She's encountering something of God. She knows that we're Christians. She knows that it's just like not just being a moral person, but we're wanting to show her Jesus. She's encountering the heart of God. She's encountering the body of Christ. But that came through what? Through just being perceptive. Didn't just buy her some lipstick or something. It's like, you know, take that the wrong way. Don't do that. No, it's perceptive, and that came out of that. Another story, a guitarist in Brighton, again, doesn't come to this church. We met up for coffee. This, again, was about a year ago, last summer, and he was really struggling with something, really stressed out with the situation money-wise. He'd been away on tour a little bit, and because of that, he wasn't able to work. He's trying to lock down a job in Brighton at the same time, and he had to miss quite a few shifts that particular month. He couldn't pay that month's rent. And they were going to move out of that place at the end of the month anyway, and he was going to go to a new place, but he couldn't move out, and his housemates couldn't move out until their rent was paid, and he was just like, really, it was really carrying it. You know, he's a really lovely guy. He's really responsible. It's not like particularly characteristic of him to be bad with money. You could just see it's because he was on tour and he couldn't work, and that particular month got screwed over. And he was going to get some money, but it wasn't going to come to 28 days. So he had this window where all his housemates were like stressing out, and he was stressing out. And he's like, what do I do? Any thoughts? Just coming to me as a friend who's kind of a life stage ahead of him, just asking for wisdom. And while we were talking, it became obvious to me, this guy just needs some money to help tie him over for a month. Just to pay this, help the housemates move on, he can move into his new flat. And then I know the money's coming. I asked lots of questions, really figured out what was going on. He was getting paid in September, you know, so it wasn't like he couldn't give the money back. I didn't say this to him, I just sort of listened and suggested a few things. And I went away from that just in my heart, feeling like, God, I would love to just help him here. I know actually we have had a bit of money saved. We did actually have that kind of money hanging around because we hadn't bought a house then, and houses are expensive. And we could take this out of some savings and just give it to him. To be honest with you, out of a cynical side of me, I was like, what if he doesn't give it back? What if he just takes it for granted? Am I just like teaching him to be irresponsible? Shouldn't he just learn from his mistakes? And I just prayed about it. I felt like, actually, no, there's something in here, like, you can love him. I actually talked to one of the elders of our church, like, hey, what should I do? And he said to me, Si, this sounds brilliant. It feels like God's in this. If you're going to do this, if you're going to serve him, you actually need to be prepared just to let go of that money. I was like, huh. I just thought I'd give it to him, and in 28 days I'll get it back again because I know he's going to get paid. And he was like, mate, are you going to bless him or not? And at the same time, we're actually praying for God to give us thousands. So I'm like, hang on, I want God to give me thousands, but I'm not prepared to give 400 quid to a friend of mine in need. God really challenged my heart. I thought, actually, no, I want to do this. And Anna and I prayed about it, and I met with him and I said, hey, we caught up again a few days later. Anna and I would love to just give you the money, just pay your rent. And then, you know, if you get paid and you can afford to pay it back, great. If you can't, no worries. He was blown away, absolutely blown away. Like, couldn't believe it. Turns out, well, like within a month, he paid the money back, like straight away, just gave it to us, which was great. And I genuinely had let go of it in my heart. But I helped that guy through what I could see was stressing him out, and it was affecting him and affecting the band he was in and his housemates. How did that happen? What was going on here? It was me in an eat situation, just having coffee, just catching up with a guy. I'm listening to him. I'm being perceptive to what his needs are. And I'm feeling in my heart and I'm praying, not just begin with prayer, but I'm praying for that conversation. God, are you in this? And I'm going to serve this guy. He didn't just encounter me. He encountered the heart of God. He encountered Jesus through what I did that day. Like, I'm not that generous as a person, but being shaped by Jesus, you're able to give. He encountered the generosity of God through me. Came through just being perceptive. Really not rocket science, but that's just a couple of stories. How important it is to listen. Again, just so important to say, this is not a project. You know, it's not just like, hey, these BLESSS are like steps. Like, done that one. No, you begin with prayer, but you keep on praying. I eat this guy and we have coffee, but we keep on just having fellowship and like hanging out together. I keep listening to him. It's not just like, No, it's important to keep doing the whole thing. Also, just being perceptive, you might notice some people, as you're talking to them, actually they would rather not like have you serve them. Almost like some people have a hard time receiving help. Have you ever come across that? It's almost like a bit weird for you to do that. Like, oh, I want to give this to you. Why? And actually, the act of you helping him or suggesting, oh, I want to just help you or do this, can actually freak them out a little bit. And I think in the world that we live in today, you know, we're kind of taught to be suspicious, aren't we? I think probably part of our British culture, I think, okay, what's the catch here? What's the catch? And I understand that. But here's a little trick I've been thinking about and talking with the team about. What do you do in that situation? Feels a bit like backwards, but this is what I would suggest. Ask them to serve you with something. You're going to move the couch, you're going to paint a wardrobe, put some shelves up, I don't know. Ask them to help you. Oh, hey, mate, have you got an hour on Saturday? Would you mind helping me with this? What was going on there? You're just breaking the ice. You're just taking your friendship on a little bit further. In that, it's now normal for you to sort of just help each other. And then you can serve the socks off of him and it isn't so weird. Does that make sense? It's normal human like dynamic. This is nothing, again, it's not rocket science. This is just human behavior. But actually, we can help serve people, bring the love of Christ to people. But it is helpful just to be perceptive, not just be weirdos who are like freaking people out. So I would just suggest that. But we keep on listening, keep sharing meals, keep being perceptive as you do that. Next up, compassionately. Sometimes when you listen to people, people are just sharing where they're at. You feel their pain. You can actually feel like, oh. I would say to this, don't run away from that. Jesus didn't. When Jesus encountered people's suffering, he encountered something that was difficult, he didn't bolt it. He didn't like guard his heart, like, I'm done with that. No, he deeply groaned, remember. He allowed these things to affect him. It says lots of times in the Bible, Jesus did things out of compassion. Out of compassion, he healed the crowds. Out of compassion, he fed them. Out of compassion, he allowed these things to affect him. Sometimes we can run away from people's like suffering, pain. Oh, it's beginning to affect me. Or we can, again, think because of the world we live in, where we're taught to like, oh, they're just playing on your emotions. And think, oh, no, I'm just doing this out of emotion. Yeah, you are. And it's a gift. You're made in the image of God. You feel things. God hasn't made you to be like a computer or just a, you know, an algorithm or some binary code. Just like, yeah, yes or no, okay, done. No, he's made you in his image. You're going to feel things. I would just say, go with that. It's Christ-like to allow these things to affect you and then to serve out of that. Sometimes you talk to someone and you can feel, man, they're going through, and you have these ideas in your head, wow, I'd love to give them this money, or I'd love to help them do that. And then you walk away from it a day later and you think, nah, I won't. You know, the emotion's gone, the compassion of the moment is gone, and you think, oh, it's okay, I won't do that. You think, oh, okay, you know, it's just emotion, I didn't really need to do it in the first place. Yeah, it was emotion, and it's God-given emotion. Don't lose your head in it all, don't just completely throw your brain out the window, but these are God-given things. Our God is compassionate towards us. He doesn't hold us arm's length. What we go through affects him. Learn to serve people compassionately. Cultivate compassion. What I'm suggesting, I'm aware, could lead to like you carrying things that is difficult. But this is what it is to be the people of God and to be his body, Just know he's compassionate for you. He cares about your needs. This is just what it is. Just like, this is the way Jesus is with us. We can care for other people. Let's be those to learn to serve compassionately. You know what? That person, it would be great if they experienced God's compassion, wouldn't it? If they could realize how much God cares for them. But the only way they're going to do that is through you showing compassion. So let's bring Christ to people. This kind, again, that comes from the place of listening. Just quickly, again, personally, serving people personally. If there's anything we get from Mark 7, it's the fact that Jesus cut through the crowd and touched this guy's ears and touched this guy's tongue. That's personal. Jesus got personal with someone. Yes, it's good to like paint someone's sheds. Yes, it's good to like take them out for a drink. And yes, it's even good to sometimes give people money. But when you hit the personal, things change. Learn in conversation, and you have to learn how to do this through being perceptive at the right time to actually even ask a personal question. This is a question I sometimes ask people, you know, if I feel it's right or it's true. Hey, you don't seem yourself. What's up? Is everything okay? You know, you just tell sometimes people just don't see themselves. One of your mates, football club, down the pub, something, they're just not themselves. If you're good enough friends, ask them. Hey, man, you don't seem yourself. Is everything okay? What's up? Stand back and then just listen. People love just to share what's going on. Maybe that person has never been asked. Your listening to them will bring remedy. And out of that place, then you can learn to serve them at a personal level. Learn to connect with people personally where they're at. Lastly, crossing barriers. As we said earlier, Jesus came and he crossed barriers. We want to bless the world, but to bless the world, you've got to be in the world. So a question for us tonight. What percentage of your time is just with your family and your friends? And what is it with just other people in the world that don't know Jesus? Jesus serves some people like him, but also he serves people really not like him. And all of you around this room, you'll have people that are like you. You're kind of person, they dress like you, you have the same interests. Great. Don't just think the application of this sermon is, how can I serve these people? Actually, there's a whole world of people that are just not like you that actually Jesus wants to serve through you too. So think about age, socially, racially, just spiritually. All these things are like just define us. But remember, Jesus cuts through these barriers and connects with people different to him. So a question for us right now is, who is it in your life? Who is it in your workplace? Who is not like you? And by default, we think, okay, I won't serve them. That's someone else's job. Who says? The closest that person's going to get to Jesus is you. And you're just bypassing him every day, every week. Jesus came to bring inclusivity, to cut through the barriers. And if you look at the end of the story in heaven, it's like people from every nation, every age, tribe, tongue, sex, language, he gathers together. It's a lie that you can't connect with that person. You have more in common than you think. You think, I'd rather have lunch break on Facebook. You have more in common with that person than with Facebook. You're just interacting with a machine. Go and connect someone different with you and you'll see amazing things will happen. These ways that we can serve people, you've got to remember. You've got to remember this is the way that Jesus has come to serve us. He cares about you. He's perceptive of what's going on in your life. He's cut through the barriers to get to you. All of this beautifully points back to the person of Jesus. Earlier I said the verse from Matthew 20, 28. It says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. But actually there's a second half to this verse. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Ultimately, the way Jesus served wasn't just to heal or just wash people's feet or just to feed people, but he went to the dark place of dying on a cross. He serves us by taking away more than just a few physical problems or dealing with our stomachs. He takes our sin onto himself. He serves you in eternity through giving you the gift of life. What's a ransom? It's paying money for something. And all of us, the price that we should pay is death, and death for eternity. Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to pay your death so that you can live. Jesus served and gave his life, even to death on a cross. And not just for us, but served and gave his life as a ransom for many. So this whole thing, this whole serving thing, this whole blessed thing, this is not about you, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. This is the Jesus mission. He came to serve and give his life for many. And there are many people in this city that God wants to bless and wants to serve, and he wants to do it through us. He served us, he's taken away our sin, and he wants to do that with more people, but he wants to use us. So yes, serving's messy. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's hard sometimes. I get that. But hey, it's not half as bad as the cross, where Jesus served every single one of us, gave his life for us. It's not about us. It's about him. This is the Jesus mission. Let's take Jesus to people this week. Amen. Amen.